Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, February the 2nd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Today could be the day the much-talked-about GOP secret memo is released. That despite continuing objections from the DOJ and the FBI. We take a look at sex trafficking at the Super Bowl. Is it a myth? And a Texas program aims to make communities healthier. Now, our top story, the Washington Post quoting an unnamed presidential advisor as saying, "There was never any hesitation. The president was resolved on this. He was not going to be persuaded otherwise. He wanted it out." At issue is the memo written by Devin Nunes and his staff, which was first seen by President Trump on Wednesday afternoon. The Post says that General Kelly, the chief of staff, offered his opinion to Trump that releasing the memo would not risk national security, but that the document was not as compelling as some of its advocates had promised Trump. Both the DOJ and FBI are on record objecting to the planned release. It's being called a surprise victory for voting rights advocates. A federal judge has ruled that Florida's current system for restoring voting rights to people after their release from prison is unconstitutional.
U.S. District Judge Mark Walker said the process used by Florida's Board of Executive Clemency to decide how a person can get their voting rights restored violates the Constitution, both the First and 14th Amendments. John Sherman with the Fair Elections Legal Network challenged the Florida process. He says the court agreed the state doesn't have the right to disenfranchise or deny voting rights in these cases.
What it did hold is the means by which former felons are forced to jump through hurdles and beg the Executive Clemency Board, the governor, the attorney general for their rights, that process is unconstitutional.
The rule doesn't immediately restore voting rights to people who have been incarcerated for felonies. Judge Walker ordered further briefing from all parties in the case to determine the appropriate remedy. I'm Tramell Gomes.
More than 1.5 million Floridians are unable to vote due to the state policy of permanently disenfranchising people convicted of a felony. Meantime, Eric Tegenoff is here to tell us big money dominated the 2016 elections in Oregon. That's according to a new report.
The Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, or OSPIRG, found about 720 individuals and businesses contributing $5,000 or more collectively donated nearly $35 million to candidates and ballot measure campaigns. In contrast, more than 31,000 people who gave $250 or less donated $2.5 million. That means large donors outspent their smaller counterparts 14-1. State Representative Diego Hernandez says he has experienced the effect large donors have on elections. He says when he decided to run, he thought he could focus on the issues and voters.
But it turned out that a lot of my time had to be spent also fundraising, which is time taken away from having to go door-to-door, talking to constituents. And so it definitely is something that impacts the election process.
The report also found large out-of-state donors outspent small in-state donors 10-1. Hernandez says these imbalances end up hurting candidates of color and women who run for office, since they typically don't have a network of wealthy donors at their disposal.
And as you prepare to watch the Super Bowl this weekend, you may not know that the game has commonly been regarded as the single largest human trafficking incident in the country. Mary Sherman tells us that claim is now up for debate.
As a sex trafficking survivor, Teresa Flores founded the SOAP Project. It stands for Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution. She explains the answer might be found online where most sex trafficking business occurs.
Numbers don't lie, and if you go on and check it, you'll see it for yourself that they advertise Super Bowl special or football fan. So it's very much driven by the event.
With a big game in Minneapolis this year, the Women's Foundation in Minnesota commissioned research on the matter. Co-chair of the Super Bowl Anti-Sex Trafficking Committee, Terry Williams, explains they discovered that while there is an uptick in trafficking in a host city, it is no more than any other major public event.
Using that, we really brought our advocates together and law enforcement and all of those folks to say, all right, we know this is an issue 365 days a year. What is our response going to be leading up to and then beyond?
The foundation is also developing a model of their human trafficking awareness efforts to be used for future events and shared with other cities. And finally, Mark Richardson reports some community clinics in Central and Southeast Texas being asked to improve health, not just health care, in their areas.
A new grant program aims to help the clinics address the underlying conditions in their communities that cause health problems. The grants from the Episcopal Health Foundation total $10 million. Lexi Nolan with the foundation says the Texas Community-Centered Health Home Initiative will focus on eliminating the root causes of chronic conditions and poor health.
A lot of our clinics are focused on issues related to overweight, food insecurity, active living. We have a clinic that's focused on adverse childhood events. So there's a range of issues, but these are common problems in lots of communities.
She says the four-year program is investing between $160,000 and $500,000 in each of 13 urban and suburban clinics. To develop programs that improve both individual patients' health and entire neighborhoods, the clinics will partner with community groups, government agencies, schools, and businesses.
Under the initiative, each clinic creates and implements an action plan tailored to its community, with the foundation providing training and technical assistance. That's our news for now. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.